Hi, I'm Annabelle, and here's the gist. Christmas has come and gone, but Christmas in my house means
flip cup and the last person to flip.
Endless days of board games and my favourite, the annual family meltdown over Monopoly. But behind every game lies an entire branch of mathematics, and this is called game theory, and it affects your life in ways well outside the likes of chess, Monopoly, and the occasional Friday night poker session. I spoke to the author of Luck, Logic, and White Lies, The Mathematics of Games.
My name is Jörg Biversdorf. I'm coming from Germany. My profession is I'm a mathematician. And I have wrote a book about the games, the mathematics of games.
Jörg deals in probability, and you may very well have sat in front of one of his slot machine designs, received change from parking meters, or exchanged currency from machines of his design. Probability is everywhere around you in your day-to-day life.
My job is to inform about possibilities to make analysis of games. But I think if you are playing the game, you have to forget the mathematics because you have to play games to get fun.
Jörg spent his early career working in game design, and his knowledge of game theory stemmed from there. But don't worry, he promises not to use his expertise when playing against you.
I'm sorry, I have in the last years I haven't the time to play games, and because I think one has to forget the mathematics, I don't believe that my opponents think about this. Of course, if I'm winning, people look for reasons for this also, but I think that it's not the mathematics. It is also then luck, or something like this, which was a reason for winning this game.
Game theory can be applied for situations that contain two or more bodies called players. Players can be anything from politicians to countries to faceless companies, or in some cases, one player can even be nature itself. Provided the players are making choices that have the potential to affect an outcome, game theory most likely applies. There's hundreds of different theories out there, and which one you apply depends on the situation at hand. This is including, but not limited to, how many players there are, how much information each player knows, what's at stake, is there only one winner, or can all players win? And if the situation is going on for an infinite or a finite amount of time. One of the most famous examples of game theory is that of Prisoner's Dilemma. Here you have two players, both are prisoners accused of murder, but the police don't have enough evidence to pin them for their crimes. So they interrogate them separately. In this case, the game rules are simple. Since both prisoners are interrogated separately, there's no communication between the two players. And there's only two outcomes. The players can either remain silent during their interview, or they can snitch on the other player. There's three outcomes that are possible in this case. If both criminals remain silent, then neither can be charged with murder, and they will both get a light jail sentence. However, if both snitch on each other, they'll both be charged with a slightly longer sentence. And if one player snitches and the other remains silent, the snitch gets to go free and the other gets locked up for murder. In the case of the prisoners, the best payoff is that both would remain silent. But with the risk of your partner in crime snitching on you, there's incentives not to remain silent. The prisoner's dilemma can be used to describe situations where two bodies don't cooperate, even though it would be in their best interests to cooperate. Now, for those of you that are big fans of daytime TV, the prisoner's dilemma sounds very similar to the final round of the show Golden Balls. For those of you that are not fans of daytime TV, the final round of Golden Ball consists of the two remaining players choosing to split or steal the cash prize. As with the prisoner's dilemma, there's three possible outcomes. If both players choose to split, each player gets half of the prize money. If both players steal, no one gets the prize money. But if one player splits and the other player steals, then the stealing player gets to walk away with all of the prize money. It's starting to sound familiar, right? it's a brutal game. And the most rational outcome is to choose to split. But again, there's that incentive not to split because you could walk away with all of the prize money. Although Golden Balls is similar to the Prisoner's Dilemma, it has a major difference, and that is that the players get the chance to communicate before revealing their choice. The addition of communication into the Prisoner's Dilemma blows this whole situation wide open. And this was demonstrated by my favourite ever contestant on Golden Balls, and he's called Nick Corrigan. And he has really thought the Prisoner's Dilemma through. Nick realised that by enabling communication, the Prisoner's Dilemma had been modified, and he used it in a very clever way to help sway his chances in the final round. Normally, when asked the question if you were going to split or steal, any rational person would say, well, yes, of course I'm going to split the money, even if your intent was to steal. However, Nick said this.
Ibrahim, I want you to trust me. 100% I'm going to pick the steel ball.
Unlike every other contestant before him, Nick didn't say he was going to split. Instead, he told Ibrahim, the other player, that he was going to steal the prize money. On the surface, Nick sounds like a horrible person, but I promise you, he isn't. After stating his intent to steal, he also gave Ibrahim a promise. And that promise was that if Ibrahim promised to state that he would split the cash money, thereby forfeiting the cash money to Nick, then Nick would split the prize money with him backstage, after the show. This is a very clever move, and is a game theory move in itself. Nick has altered the terms of the Prisoner's Dilemma. Ibrahim still has the same two options as before, to state whether or not he's going to split or steal, but his outcomes have changed. Now, if he chooses to steal, he definitely knows he's not going to go away with any money. However, if he chooses to split, then he has the possibility, provided Nick is telling the truth, that he'll get half the prize money after the show. Whereas before, the most rational option was to risk and steal, the most rational option now is to state you're going to split and place your trust in Nick. When it came round to revealing whether each player had decided to split or steal, Ibrahim obviously chose to split, being the most rational option, and Nick also chose to split. Nick used the opportunity of communicating to decrease the chance of his partner choosing steal, thereby increasing his chance of splitting the money when he revealed he wanted to split. I would highly recommend hunting this clip down on YouTube. It's very impressive, and now you know the game theory behind it, you can get behind why Nick would choose to do it this way. Although you can use mathematics to give you an edge in your favourite games, for example, in Monopoly, aiming to stay in jail for as long as possible is your best bet. You gain revenue from players landing on your properties whilst you're not moving at all, and by not moving, you're not losing any money. However, game theory is also used for a more practical and significantly less fun purpose, and that is predicting the outcomes and decisions in war. This isn't a new idea either. Using game theory for looking into military actions has been going on since the 1940s. Outside the world of hypothetical prisoners and daytime TV, the Prisoner's Dilemma has been used to explain situations like the Cold War. In the case of the Cold War, the two players are NATO and the Warsaw Pact.
Now, we must be ready for a new danger, the atomic bomb.
The options are either to arm or to disarm. Outcomes include both players choosing not to build an arsenal of weapons, thereby not starting a war, both players choosing to build an arsenal of weapons, and generating these arsenals comes at a large economic cost through maintenance. Or, one player has an arsenal of weapons, and the other player chooses to disarm. This leads to one player containing a superior arsenal, and the other player risking total annihilation.
We must be ready every day, all the time, to do the right thing if the atomic bomb explodes. Duck and cover!
In this case, the most rational outcome would be that both players would choose to disarm. In this case, there would be no more, and both sides would save money from not having to maintain a number of nuclear weapons. However, from the perspective of each player, choosing to arm yourself is the most rational option. By arming yourself, you remove the risk of being annihilated without means for retaliation. And this is exactly what we saw in the Cold War. Both sides ended up generating large arsenals of nuclear weapons, of which we are still dealing with today.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
It's very easy to apply theory to something that happened in the past because hindsight is 20/20. But the military continues to use game theory nowadays, especially with recent tensions between the US and North Korea. However, no one can predict exactly what is going to happen because no one has all the information. So next time President Trump makes an inflammatory tweet in the direction of another country, you can think of it as just another mathematical point in the game theory of life. I've been Annabelle. I hope you've learnt something, and I certainly hope you got the gist. Thanks for listening to this month's episode. At The Gist, we're always looking for more contributors. So if you're interested in making your own podcast or contributing to a podcast, then you can email us at podcasts@the-gist.org, or you can go onto our website, the-gist.org, and check out how to get involved. Alternatively, you can find us on all the regular social media channels, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. I'd like to thank Jorg, who allowed me to interview him for the purpose of this podcast and in part inspired me to make the rest. Jorg's original interview was filmed at the H2020 Utopie project, which is part of the Open Training School and is a multi-partner European project coordinated at the University of Strathclyde Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering Department. If you want to find more out about Utopie, you can go and visit them at utopiae.eu.